thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This week we have been opening our hearts to this, scripture, I hope, and longing for a love for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for our Father, as big as this love that talks about here. Because when we love Him with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength, there's not much left, is it? We've just given Him all. We've given Him all we've got, all of our hearts, everything, to love Him. What a wonderful relationship with our Father. And we have, God has clearly shown us why that is our reasonable service, to love Him like that, because of the way He loved us. And we'll be thinking about that. I sure appreciated that song about grace. And when we think about the grace of God and how wonderful it is for us, then we in turn turn around and love Him like this. We also mentioned the void that each one of us have in our hearts. We were loved first, and God made us so that we would respond back to Him in love and love Him back. And we talked about so many ways to love Him, so many important ways, including in obedience, like the brother said in the devotional. We have to fill that void, and we have to keep that void full, or else we go running after all those silly idols. And we've been looking at some of those idols these evenings. And tonight I need to speak out about what I call the most dangerous idol. And though it is, we could call it the sweetest idol, it is the most dangerous one. It has become, I would say, the number one tool in Satan's hand. It has become the god of this generation. Tonight we want to talk about sexual impurity. For too long, I believe, we have been silent, brethren, ministers. This need is so great, and if most of us are honest, this is an area that we are battered by the hardest in Satan's programs. And yet, because it is we'd say an embarrassing subject or a touchy subject, we avoid it. I would like this evening to blow the trumpet. I would like to speak out the way the Bible does. I would like to take the mask that Satan puts on his face when he comes to you with these things and jerk that mask off so we can really see what's happening. Now, I especially want to direct this message to the young people, to the adolescents that we talked to last evening. As you face this world, that somehow you could understand what's going on. And before you go running after these silly things that you think are so sweet, but that in turn turns around and destroys so many lives, I would like for you to wake up tonight and realize what's going on. It's a touchy subject, and I tremble tonight. And I trust that you've come praying. Fathers, mothers, listen to the Word of God. And help your family, and especially your children, those young ones as they grow up, to walk the journey, to face the world, to face life and reality, and help them to understand what's going on. Let's rise to our feet and read a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. If we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, we want to walk with Jesus, and we want to please God, and we want to abound, we want to grow. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Now the word fornication here in the original is porneia, which represents or talks about all kinds of immorality, and not just the specific act of fornication, but any illicit things that are done in immorality. It's including that whole package. And just take this scripture to heart. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us in unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that this evening you would open up our hearts to holiness, your purity, and your glory. Father, I pray that we would understand, get a touch, just a taste of the beauty of holiness, and put in our hearts a longing to walk before you in a clean way. Lord, I pray that you would touch any heart that has been dabbling with uncleanness, with sinful things that are not according to your holy plan. I pray that at the beginning of this service, you would already start working in the hearts as the word is opened and explained tonight. God, we just ask for a longing to be full of you so that we can be empty of this idol. I pray also, Lord, that you would protect this tent, every person in the tent and myself, because Satan is angry. Lord, I have felt his power and his rage today as he sees my desire to jerk off his mask so that the people can see what he's doing in their heart. So protect us and speak to us in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Could we imagine an evening in a most beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden? And Adam has had a big day. He named all the animals. He spent time with God as God explained to him what his job is. And before the sun went down, God put him to sleep and he got a nap. And when he woke up, he met the surprise of his life. Let's just imagine a little bit with pure mind how Adam felt at the end of that day when God brought him Eve. And he saw Eve for the first time. And he cried out, "This is woman! This is woman! This is from my flesh and my bone!" Can you imagine how his heart thundered? How excited he was? Can you imagine how beautiful she was? And he, a full-grown man, for the first time, seeing his wife and receiving her. Can you imagine how excited he was? Can you imagine the emotions that surged through his heart and the joy? And I can imagine him just turning around and saying, "Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful day." I did that on my honeymoon too. Yes, I did. Can you imagine how he felt? Probably we can only imagine. What a beautiful, perfect thing God created and brought about in that first marriage. And God said, "Go, reproduce. Go take care of these gardens. Go enjoy life." What a wonderful day. But I can imagine that somewhere in the bushes, there was an evil lurking spirit that was watching. Now, I don't know how all that worked, but I can imagine as Satan Watch that scene. He was gnashing his teeth because it had nothing to do with him. It was not his at all. It was God's perfect marriage, the first one, and he could not touch it at the moment. You know, we believe in God. We believe God is good. We heard that in the testimony of our dear brother Abdullah the other evening. God is good. And when God created man and woman, he did things right for their good. And I can't help but believe that marriage is one of those beautiful things that God created for our good. Physical, emotional intimacy with another person. If we live according to God's laws, according to the way that he started this whole thing out, then life can't be better as he's talking about marriage. He put this beautiful thing that he created within a box that we call marriage. He put it within a standard. He made it, it was so sacred, it was so beautiful, he didn't want to just throw it out any old way. So he put it within a secure box. And he put some laws there that we need to listen to, because he's our creator. He is good. He wants the best for us. So the things that he set up are best. But we are so human, and just like Eve, we let ourselves be deceived and believing lies. And we start looking outside and beyond the box, wondering what could be out there. Even us married people, when we have problems in our marriage, when things don't go right, please understand it's not God's fault. God made things right. And you know, we believe that Adam and Eve, because of their sin, they were chased out of the garden. And things got really bad, and then, you know, sin. But we believe that through Jesus Christ, we have returned to Eden, don't we? Not in the same way, but we who are redeemed can come back and live in harmony with our Creator again, because the sin issue is dealt with. And although we still live in our human bodies, and we still struggle with the human nature, God's perfect plan is there for the getting. And we can come back through Jesus Christ. If there's something wrong in our marriages, it's probably because somebody is not following God's plan. Living in harmony with us, with our Creator, is the most beautiful thing. The Bible says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion of this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Now Solomon had made a big circle in life, and he had tried everything. He had tried a lot of the devil's counterfeits. He tried so many different things. But one of the things that he concluded, and rightfully so, is that it is good for a man to live joyfully with his wife. And it's good for a woman to live joyfully with her husband. This theme is precious to me tonight because of my past. Some of you have read the book, The Long Road Home. And in my young years, due to many things, I got involved with sexual impurity from the age of 6 years old and learned so many twisted and perverted things that I would be ashamed, oh so ashamed, to talk about tonight. And I'm glad I don't have to. And I praise the Lord that by the time that I got married, God had dealt with me and had taught me and trained me. And we stepped into marriage. You know how he is. We probably all do it. We say the most beautiful marriage that has existed on this day. I remember putting our heads together and pressing them together and weeping out of joy, pure joy, when I received my Eve. I would like for this to be the strongest point in the message, the first point. God's beautiful plan for you if you are willing to do what it takes and work with God according to His holy law and step into what we call marriage according to God's plan. I remember when I was young. I remember when I was a youth struggling with impurity, struggling with many things in my life. There was always a longing. And I'd say, Lord, could I someday be pure? Lord, could I someday have a family and a wife that would love me? And after having been so perverted, I sometimes had some doubt. But one of the things that helped me gain victory in my life was just simply that I had a longing, a touch, something about what God's plan would be for me in marriage. Proverbs says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. Now, the correct translation should say, don't let thy fountains be dispersed abroad. The King James says, let thy fountain. If I can do that, because I've looked at other translations, and especially Spanish. Don't let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be only thine and not strangers with thee. Intimacy between two people, a man and a woman. Let them be only thine own. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love. That's what the Bible says. We need to preach it. We need to teach it. We need to explain things to our children. What the truth is. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? But we turn around and listen to this devil's lies. When he begins to tell us that there are other things outside of God's plan that taste better, that stolen waters are sweeter, and the many, many things that he lies about. We need to accept God's beautiful plan. The book of Song of Solomon can be read in two ways. It can be read as a symbolic thing, you know, Jesus' relationship with the church and the beloved and the man and the woman, I forget how it says in English. A beautiful thing. I love to read Song of Solomon and spiritualize it and rejoice with my lover, Jesus Christ. And ye singles, to rejoice, it says in the scripture to the sisters, God is your husband. That relationship. But I want to say that Song of Solomon can also be read literally just for what it says. What a beautiful book. And it can be your experience if you follow the Lord. Now, the youth cry out, but why? Why are you married people bragging? Why are you talking about all this? And we can't. We can't be married. We're single. And we have to struggle with all our desires. I'd like to explain just a little bit here. The United States has some special forces. I don't know if it's right or not, but for some reason, the Green Berets come to my mind. But whatever they're called, the United States has special forces. I had a friend that had a brother that was in these special forces. And he'd tell me like this, I don't know where my brother is right now, and I may not know. Not even his flesh brother would know where he's at. But they imagine he was in Afghanistan during the time of the war. And these are the type of men that got bin Laden, if ever you pronounce it. God wants to train you young people to be Green Berets for the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn to live, to learn to enjoy life with the Master before you can enjoy your wife. I promise you that unless you have learned to love the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you will not be able to love that woman that you're running after right now. First, you need to learn to love the Lord and to be loyal to Him and to give Him everything you've got and to be a green beret for Him. That takes a lot of training, a lot of work, a lot of self-discipline. You know, those husbands that didn't learn self-discipline when they were youth make rotten husbands, ask the women. Or those women that don't learn to cultivate all those virtues of their character and those beautiful things, if they don't cultivate them when they're young, in the time of that training, then when they get married, it won't automatically be cured. Youth, you're in a time of training, a very special time. For some youth, it's not that long, you know. Youth wake up at 12, 13 years old and get married at 20. Well, sometimes 25 in my case. Sometimes 30, sometimes 50. Some people never get married. And those people are in that special camp for their whole life. Like the Apostle Paul, like the Lord Jesus Christ. Special people for special work. Special agents. Trained. God is training you. Don't get discouraged. Don't run ahead of God. Please don't run ahead of God. How many people have ruined their lives? How many young people have wrecked their futures, their lives, their families because they run ahead of God and can't wait? While you wait, you're in training. God has a special interest in you. And you learn to develop your character. You learn to be self-disciplined and to, through the Holy Spirit, control your emotions, sisters. And brethren, through the Holy Spirit, learn to control your flesh. What a beautiful thing to be a green beret for Jesus. I could talk all night about that, but I think that's enough. I want to quickly now go into this thing of Satan's counterfeits. And my heart breaks tonight as I talk about Satan's counterfeits. Because not only do I see it every day, not only have I seen it for years, especially in Latin America, but I lived it way too long. Satan is in the bushes watching and he's gnashing his teeth. He says, I have to have that power. I need that. That beautiful thing that, you know, it's so beautiful. God put it in the box and secured it and sanctified it and blessed it and protects it. And blessed are the preachers that speak out and preach about these things and help God keep it where it's supposed to be. Woe unto us when we can't even speak out about counterfeits anymore. And Satan is saying, I need to get that. Satan is a liar. Satan is a cheater. So that's what he did. He not only did it with intimacy. He did it with music, like we talked last evening. He did it with so many, many things. He grabs the thing that God created. He can't create anything. Try to think about that. What has Satan created? You'll say, well, surely he created tobacco. No, he didn't. All those beautiful stands of tobacco here in the valley. You know tobacco? God created tobacco. And probably, if we do a study, there would be some real benefit as far as natural medicine in tobacco. I don't know what all God had in His mind when He created it, but I don't think He planned that we'd be dumb enough to smoke it. That is Satan's job. He perverts the mind and perverts things. He takes something good and well. Cocaine. We were in Colombia. And they were serving us cocaine drink and they serve cocaine tea when you're in the high altitude. Nothing wrong with it. Perfectly okay. We chewed it when we went hiking because it gives you strength. They don't call it cocaine. It's coca leaves. Don't dare call it cocaine. It's not cocaine. It's only cocaine when they take those leaves and process it. And I don't even know what the process is and I don't want to know. But the devil took a perfectly beautiful plant. We have pictures. I might even put it in my next book. And he perverted it and made it into something that burns man's brains and drives him to hell. Cocaine is one of the saddest things, the use of cocaine, that the devil uses on the human race. Everything there is, music, and let's talk about anger. You think God made anger? No, God gave us emotions, strong emotions. When something's not right, if we wouldn't get some emotions, we probably would never do anything about anything. You know, if the grackles come to the garden, and if you just be so passive, well, the grackles would get all the corn. But He put into us a natural stirring of emotions to go and take care of the grackles. But the devil takes those feelings and those emotions and just explodes them and dynamite. And next thing we know, we're swearing and we're cursing and we're hitting each other. The same way with this beautiful thing called intimacy. The devil just had to get it, so he stole it. He cheated. He turned around and he twisted it. He'd never come to you with the real thing. He doesn't have any rights. But because you have freedom of choice, and God has made it that there will always be an alternative, because what would freedom of choice mean if there'd be no other alternatives? What would freedom of choice mean in the Garden of Eden if there were not a tree called the tree of good and evil? That was God's plan from the beginning. There had to be an alternative, because He wanted people that voluntarily served Him. He didn't want people that are there because they had to. You know, if there would not have been a tree of good and evil, Adam and Eve couldn't have done wrong. But He wanted people that serve Him because they love Him. And that's the reason that Satan has this open door unto before human people. And he comes with this long list of counterfeits. Most of them are outside the box called marriage. Now, as I mentioned these counterfeits, I want to... I won't be looking up the Scriptures, because I believe that most of you in this tent know well what the Bible says about these things, and I'm not going to take the time to look up the verses, but I'm going to mention these counterfeits because I think it's important. One of the counterfeits that Satan uses is adultery. And he somehow tries to convince people that jumping out of the box and living with another man's wife, or a wife living with another woman's husband, for some reason would have some benefits. Is there anybody here that could explain what the benefits are of committing adultery? We'll read a scripture later where the Bible clearly says what it does do. That's stealing. That's cheating. You're cheating on your neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you would love your neighbor, you would never sneak over there and steal from him. Satan is a robber. He's a cheat. So see what's happening here? He comes and presents a package called adultery and wants you to get involved. Fornication. Although fornication is not cheating on another man's wife, but it is also stealing. It is stealing from another person that you're not responsible for. You have not been brought together in marriage where you are responsible to each other. You have made vows. You are committed until death do us part. That's where things work. That's the protection that God gave. Intimacy, a beautiful thing, but when you step out and begin practicing intimacy with somebody that is not your spouse, or if you're single, you're stealing. You're stealing. And it's devastating. We'll see that a little later. Homosexuality is a perversion. Lesbianism, bestiality, all these things are perversions. They're twisting something beautiful that God made, and bringing it, Satan serves it on platters of gold. And he comes to the young people, and he comes to the old people. He comes to all of us, doesn't he? In one way or another. And he comes with these counterfeits and tries to convince us that this is the real thing. And it isn't. And it never will be. Read Romans 1. I would challenge you to read Romans 1 to understand homosexuality. You know, right now, that's a big thing. There's a lot of people out there looking for gay rights. And there's a world out there that is And we don't need to get angry at these people. We need to love them just like we do the adulterers and the fornicators. We need to love the homosexuals and the lesbians. We need to reach out to them too. We need to preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to put our arms around them and pray with them, just like Jesus did with all these people that He was relating to that had already listened to Satan, had went out there and lived according to these counterfeits. Jesus loves them. We should too. But we never love what they do. Masturbation. Intimacy, according to God's plan, is made to be a blessing between two people. A man and a woman. We got that clear, don't we? That's what God planned. That's the way He made it. That's the way it has to be. And anything else besides that won't work. Intimacy demands a second person. When we practice some of these things, we discover that we're alone. There's the other part is missing, and we discover that we are in love with ourselves. And we are guilty of worshiping the most ridiculous idol, which is when we wake up and we discover that we are worshiping the God with a small g called me. That's why all these things leave us empty. They leave us feeling dirty. They don't satisfy. They bring confusion. Every one of these counterfeits bring confusion. Then there's pornography. I'd like to put in a little word here on pornography. I was there, brother. And we think that when we sneak a little look at pornography here and there, we just think, well, that's just me, you know. I'll just suffer the consequences. But there are two problems here. Not just are you going to suffer because you have stolen again. The devil's a cheat. You stole something. You stole something very intimate and beautiful that was not yours to begin with. And you have damaged your mind by drinking in scenes that you should never see. And it opens up the doors to lust and so many, many other things. So you're damaging yourself. You're stealing. But not only that, but if you think of pornography, think what you're doing to the girl in the magazine. You're participating in a very, very awful sin because you're taking what is precious and intimate and you're participating in throwing it to the wind. What would Jesus do if He were walking down the highway and would see one of those big billboards? I think Jesus would bow His head and walk past weeping. Weeping for the girl that sold her body so cheap and threw to the four corners of the winds what was her precious intimate gift to some husband without realizing possibly how it ruined her life, how her self-esteem went with it. Behind it went so many important things and she ends up feeling like she's just a piece of dirt. And nobody wants her. Pornography is stealing. And for you, if you participate in such things. I want to mention something else here. I don't know how your churches here are on the hands-off policy. I think maybe last night I shocked some people with some of the things I said. And by the way, I was not saying that all of you have to do what I did with my children when I only gave them an 8th grade education because we live in Waslala and a circumstance is very different to yours. Please understand that. I didn't want to just shock you out of your seat. Although I believe what I did in Waslala was right, you need to find out what's right for you here on that subject. But I found it a privilege tonight to speak out on hands off in courtship. Don't care what you think. I'm sorry. Because if you
began playing with your companion before you're married, you're stealing because she is not yours. Or you don't understand marriage. You don't understand the box that God gave you called marriage and how sacred that is and what the commitment is in marriage. If you think that you can jump out of that box and take what's not yours the day before or the week before or a month before or a year before, you're stealing. If I understand my Bible right, 1 Thessalonians here where it talks about sanctification, it talks about verse 4 says, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That verb possess can also be translated acquire. So a lot of people feel that this scripture is speaking to courtship. That every one of you should know how to acquire his wife. If you go carefully and look at the original. In sanctification and honor. Not in lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Then look at verse 6. Have you ever thought about verse 6 being completely out of the subject in this scripture? It says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is avenger of such, and we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Defrauding your brother. If you, young man, are dating, and you begin to awaken things in your companion that are meant for the holy box called marriage, you are defrauding. You're stealing. It's not yours yet. Only after marriage is the commitment made. What would happen if a week before marriage you'd have to cancel your wedding? And all of a sudden, you're not married. You're free to marry somebody else. Then what are you going to say? With all the things you stole. Or turn that around. Young sister, if you're in courtship, are causing your husband to be to temptation, creating situations that are difficult, you're stealing. It's not meant to be. When we started courting, we started writing letters, my wife and I. I was living in the States and she lived in Costa Rica, and we wrote letters for, I think it was 6 or 7 months. After we came back, one of the first things we wanted to do is have a good date. You know how it is. We were serious. We were looking into this thing for the future. And she came to our place. She lived in another church a little distance away. She came to our place. And I had planned this all out, you know. It's very romantic. And we had this little picnic table not far from the house, you know, down under the trees by a little waterfall. Beautiful little picnic table. And she came. I remember the dress she had on. It was maroon. Oh, she looked good. And I was so blessed. And I dressed up too. And we went down there. And we sat at the picnic table. And we were just really having a good time. But I had something on my heart. I had a weight on my heart. I had to say something. If you read The Long Road Home, you know some of the things that I was involved in. Scared of myself. I so wanted a holy marriage. I so wanted a courtship that would be clean and pure. And I wanted to go, and my dad and my mom had given me a good example of this. And they had talked to me about this, especially my mom. She's an old, we call her the uncurable romance. She can't romance. She just can't stop talking about love. And I appreciate my mom. And she used to tell me the beautiful things there are in marriage if you can keep yourself clean. So here I am with a history of perversion and lots of struggles in my youth. And now here's one of our first dates, you know, that we really sit down and have a good date after I'd come back from the U.S. And we sit down and I open my Bible and I don't know what scripture I read. And I said, I'd like to talk about hands-off policy. And, okay, good. Let's talk about the hand-off policy. And I said, honey. No, I didn't say honey. I'm sorry. Especially when you hear the rest of the story, you know I didn't say honey. I said, I probably said Eunice very properly. I would like to talk about the hands-off policy. I would like that you and I would come to an agreement that we're not going to touch each other until marriage. Now, I know, I said, that our church has a standard against it. And I appreciate that, I said, but I feel like you and I need our own standard over and above the church's, because we might have trouble. And I said, I want to protect myself from this, okay? I said, could we? And I looked over and she was smiling and her eyes were shining. Guess what she told me? She said, Pablo, I'm so glad you brought this up, because I was waiting to see what you say about hands off. Because if it was not hands off, the relationship was going to terminate. Oh, I appreciate that. She told me, it's one or the other. Get on or get off. I said, thank you. That's what I want. And actually, I'm not sure if it was that time, if it was later in our relationship, I told her one day, I said, you know what? If I ever get my hands on you, I want you to do two things. Number one, slap my face. And number two, go tell the preachers. That's how serious I was about this matter. Now, praise the Lord, she never had to slap me in the face, and she never had to tell the preachers. Because of difficult circumstances and some things that happened, we dated for almost three years. And we'd set down our chairs and on her father's porch, and we'd sit there and we'd have wonderful time. I can still remember those dates. I remember one night after we were engaged and it was time to, we were planning for the marriage, and there were some problems between her and her family on how the wedding's going to be. And one evening, as she sat beside me, she was crying. And I looked over at her, oh, how I loved her. And I just couldn't help but think how beautiful it would be if I just get her head and just pull it over here and put it right here in this little tuck. You know what this is for? This is for your wife's head. Just lay it in here and just hold her. And I can honestly say that there was nothing immoral or lusting about it. It was a pure and holy thing. No, you're right. It was a pure thing in my heart, but I knew that I would not go against my commitment with her, and I also knew I wasn't dumb enough to think that I could do that and it would just stay for what I was thinking. You know, it goes in stages. So I didn't, and I thank the Lord that I didn't. And we came to our marriage, and I don't want to say this proudly, I say this very humbly, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, without touching each other the wrong way. Ever. And our honeymoon was the best that there ever was. That's my testimony. Now, sisters, we sometimes, it's more of a relational thing, a relationship. Be careful with the feelings and the relationships. Before you're courting, this is another subject. Before you're courting, sisters, be very careful who you give your heart to. When you start giving out a relationship, emotions, looks, smiles, and little gifts to the fella when it's not supposed to be, that is also wrong. That is also stealing. You're stealing his heart. Or, brethren, as you relate to sisters in the church and you begin to give them attention beyond what you should, and you begin to try to wrap them up in a relationship before you should, that is also stealing. It's very dangerous. I want to just give a testimony about my daughters. My daughters have all come to me at one point in their life and said, Daddy, the twins did it first. They said, Daddy, we give you our hearts. I give you my heart. Now, she's talking about the romantic part of her heart. Of course, they had given their heart to the Lord Jesus. And because they had given their heart to the Lord Jesus, and because they were serious about not getting wrapped up in relationships that are damaging and heart-rending and devastating, they said, Daddy, here's my heart. And I said, thank you. I'll keep it until someday we will give it back to somebody that the Lord has brought to your life. What a beautiful thing. Guard your emotions, sisters, brethren. Guard yourself from getting involved in something that should not be until the Lord gives you your ease, until He opens the doors in the correct way, honoring father and mother, honoring the ministry, and bringing this thing together the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants. His gift to you, the right way, the beautiful thing, the real thing. Don't ever accept anything less. It's not worth it. Nicaragua, they have this habit. The young people, they start doing things in secret and sending little notes. And, oh, here it's so easy. Just a little text message. Be careful with the text messages. Because you can lose your heart through texts. Texting. Mental fantasies. There was a time in my life that I traveled to go to my job at the imprenta where they do the antorcha. It's a married man. And I began to spend my time on this 40-minute drive with mental fantasies. I don't think I have to go into any more details than that. I think especially the men know what I'm talking about. Until one day I woke up to what was happening. It was a habit. I'd barely get out on the road, out of our lane, and all of a sudden, here I go. I've always been a kind of a person that can imagine things, and I can make up the most wonderful stories. Maybe that's partly why I can write books, but I can make up the most beautiful stories, you know. But I got to the point where I had to get on my knees and renounce it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and promise Him that from now on, if I'm traveling the road, if I can't think sound and good things, then I'm going to pray until I can. Because the Bible says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So here's another counterfeit. Here's another counterfeit. The devil trying to convince you it's okay for you to do all those games in your brain, in your mind, that there's nothing wrong with it. You're not hurting anybody. You're hurting yourself. And you're grieving your Lord. Because in your heart, you are already committing the sin. Then there's another thing I'm going to mention. Again, some of you might not come back. But I'd like to give a little word to the cool youth. The youth that are cool. The youth that do things with their dress and their manners. And say there's nothing wrong with it. What would Jesus wear? How would He fashion Himself? These fashions come through our churches and these mods and stuff. The Bible says, who's adorning, especially talking to the sisters, who's adorning, let it not be that outward of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. As you train, sisters, as you train as a young sister for the army of the Lord, and He prepares your heart not only for marriage, but for service, for living life, and for heaven, then you dress the way the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to dress. I have a question for the girls. Why would you want to paint your toenails? No, you don't paint them as bright as the world does, but you put a little bit something on and make them shine. Why would you want to pluck your eyebrows? Why would you want to doll up your hair? Put on just a little bit of lipstick, you know, something, you know, not bright. No, we never do that. But why do you got to put something on anyway? It often starts with the excuse that I need some good chapstick, you know, because the air is kind of dry. What makes you doll yourself up? What makes you wear immodest dresses? What makes you wear dresses that make the boys go... And then we put a covering on top. Does that make sense? Doesn't to me. It's the same spirit that's in the world to make the women doll themselves up to attract men. But quickly, before you say I'm being hard on the women, I turn around to the brethren. Why do they do that? Why would they want to doll themselves up? Why would they want to wear clothes according to the mod and be cool? Because the cool boys like it. Because the cool boys give them attention. The cooler the girls, the cooler the boys, the cooler the girls. It's a two-way street. But then you say, but Pablo, you're being mean. God made the butterflies beautiful. Oh, look at the colors. Amen. But God made the butterflies. And you dolled yourself up. That's the difference. Your natural beauty is what God gave you. There's nothing wrong with your natural beauty. You can go to any part of the world with a clear conscience and smile at anybody. If you have a beautiful faith, the way God gave you, because you didn't do it, that brings glory to your Father. But when you start monkeying with it, once you start just adding to it, once you're not satisfied with yourself, and you have that longing to somehow fill up the void in my heart and get some attention from the boys, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But that's what's behind it. When you do it, you're drawing attention to yourself. Your natural beauty is perfectly fine. God gave it to you. Thank Him every day. And if you're a beautiful girl, pray God that have mercy on you and to help you with special grace. Because the beautiful girls have a harder struggle in this area than even, well, I shouldn't say that, because I know that sometimes when girls think they're not beautiful, then they do the dolling to try to make up for it. But you know what? Every girl is beautiful, because that's the way God made her. We talked about that the other evening. This is part of the counterfeits, people. To think that somehow I can win my partner by using the flesh. What a deception. The way to win a partner is to adorn the inside and develop my character and become a kind of person that can witness, that is excited about serving the Lord, that goes around with a smile. And when people look at them, they say, praise the Lord. Just a little thing I think I can say about Lisa Miller and her personal testimony. When she first was ushered into a Mennonite home for disguise, they said, here's the bed, there are some clothes, put them on. And she did. She went in there, dressed like a vain Protestant, and came out dressed like a Mennonite. Now, I don't want to throw stones at Protestants or brag on Mennonites. We all need the good Lord. Lord have mercy. She walked out of there, and the time went on, and she told me, when I took my wife and I took her out to eat a couple years ago, when I had meetings in Managua, she gave us a personal testimony. She said the first time down in Managua, when she walked on the streets, she felt really strange walking on the streets with a dress like this, a nice, modest dress. Doesn't matter if it's like Mennonites or not. But she said it wasn't very long until she discovered a special freedom. She said, you know what? The first time in my life am I walking down the street free without thinking, am I too immodest? Are those guys looking at me because of my dress? She said all of a sudden she felt free. She felt covered. And if anybody looked at her, why, you know, they just are curious who it is. But she knew in her heart that she was not causing any man to be tempted. She felt totally free. And it just grew on her until she was convinced in her heart. The same way with the veiling. She wore the veiling. And at first it was just one of those unhandy things to put on my head. And it was totally disguised. But the time came with some months when she would kneel down to pray and wouldn't have it on. She didn't feel right. And she'd go find that veiling and cover her head. If nothing else, she'd pull off a pillowcase and put it on. But she needed it to pray, because that's the way God made it. That's the way God wants it. All these things that we do to attract attention are counterfeits from Satan. The other evening, I met some girls whose eyes were shining for Jesus. And I commended them for their modesty, for their covering that covered. I commended them. I could just see Jesus shining out of their eyes. What a beautiful thing. And then the men of God that are serious that want to walk with the Lord, that want to love the Lord their God with all their hearts, with all their souls, with all their minds, and with all their strength. They're out there looking. They're alone. They need a companion. Who do they go for? You know the answer. Now, quickly. Time is running on. We were created with such strong longings. I'm 53 years old and my blood is as red as it was. Strong longings. Across the board, men and women, it's very different. But we have these strong longings. Don't feel bad about that adolescence as you wake up and as you grow up and you discover you have these strong longings. That's what the way God made you. And it's a beautiful thing. But you must bring it under the mastery of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must submit it to the Lord Jesus. You must commit it to the plan of the Holy Father and walk before Him in holiness. And don't dare listen to these counterfeits. Let me tell you why. Because they are so destructive. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of the harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body," excuse me, "every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication," porneia, any kind of illicit practices along this line, "sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own?" What a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit lives in me. My body is His. I am not my own. "For ye are bought with a price." Hallelujah. "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." But notice, flee from fornication. Focus on the Lord Jesus. Focus on your relationship with Him, walking with Him, and just block those other things out and renounce them, brothers and sisters, because they are the most damaging sin. I'm convinced that the sins of this type, sexual sins, are the most damaging sins. Now, I didn't say the most sinful, but they're the most damaging, and I'd like to somehow explain to you how. Why are these things so devastating? Why are people so quickly ruined? I've seen people go, girls go from a young, tender age, sincerely serving the Lord, to a matter of months or years, wrecked. I've seen men do the same thing. It's the worst of all sins. It is the most horrible idol. It is the idol that Satan used to ruin more lives. Open your eyes, brethren. Open your eyes, sister. See what he's doing. And he does it among our churches. In all of these small ways that I mentioned, it is the most damaging sin. Proverbs 6:24, For the commandment is a light lamp, and the light is light, law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, dry, hard crust. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. If you want to lose your life, that's the way you'll, one of the quickest ways. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet are not burned? He that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Now this is specifically talking about adultery, but I believe that it's the same way with all these immoral sins. You know, Amon, after he committed that sin with his half-sister, oh, how he thought he loved her so. But after it was all said and done, it says, and Amon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Ammon said unto her, arise and be gone. Isn't that a typical situation? The devil comes and serves all these things with on golden platters, and he comes up with all his lies and his deceivings, the cheater that he is. And he deceives us. And we go after these things. And the next thing we find out, we have got ourselves trapped into situations that are awfully destructive. Oh, if I could just explain it. I don't know if I can. I'll try a little bit. The reason that these things are so destructive is because they deal with the most intimate parts of us. And not just the body. But more those intimate feelings. The things that are so private. Things that are so precious. Things that are so sacred that God gave us. And we take them and we dare take them out of the box, out of God's plan, and throw them to the winds. What a sad thing. Those intimate feelings that you have, those precious intimate, I compare it with a harp. A harp with very, very fragile strings. If somebody gets that harp and has tender hands and knows the rules, how to play, and he picks up the harp and his fingers are expert and he plays the harp, what beautiful music it makes. But if you take it and use it to chase the cows, to prune the trees, or clumsily, not according to the rules, you play and you aren't careful, you're reckless, you don't have any love really, you're after the flesh, you're not really interested in the person, your flesh is burning, you're running after the flesh, the harp is ruined. The heart of men and women have been destroyed and hurt so deeply. Such destruction. It's devastating when relationships like that start and break up. And so many, many other things. It's a sad thing. It is an awful thing. And the devil stands back and watches the drama. And he sees the ending. And he sees the woman crying. Oh, Nicodai, where my heart weeps for the women that ran off with men who made so many promises. And they're going to marry and they're going to do this and they're going to that. And they don't. And then they come back later with 1, 2, 3, 4 children. Devastated. Some of these girls have married the men. Not listening to the counsel of their parents and the ministers. And then they come back. And what they thought was going to be a heaven on earth has become their hell. And the thing that they thought they couldn't live without becomes their hell on earth. Gravel in their mouths. Emptiness. And their hearts are all battered and shattered to pieces. My wife and I have helped girls try to heal when their hearts are shattered. I talked with a young lady who said, my heart has been broken by men so many times that there's so many pieces, I don't know if they'll ever get it together again. And she turns around and hates those men because they destroyed the most intimate, delicate things of their heart and their bodies. Private things. And you turn that around. Men have been destroyed. Empty. They think they're big stuff. But they end up just being a sorry excuse of human flesh. Destroyed by Satan. So what can you do, brothers and sisters? That'd be a lot we could say here. I'd like to quickly close down here. But we need to renounce all these things. We need to commit ourselves to God's plan and come back into harmony with the Creator and say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to live this life to its fullest. I want to obey your commands. I want to enjoy life because you're going to show me what's best for me. And I will not step out one side or the other. I will be loyal and I will be true to your word. And I will study your word. And I will beg for the Holy Spirit to help me to not even have a hint of this stuff in my life. To the point where God can deal with you, brethren, even on how you look at that woman in the flea market. You know, we always say if the sin comes in the second look, I'd like to challenge you. There can be sin in the first look. It doesn't have to, but there can be. God comes down and deals with us into the very things that we think. God wants us to be holy, and we didn't even know it, that holiness is what we long for. What a beautiful thing is to go to bed at evening and night and close our eyes and say, thank you, Lord, because I've lived the day in victory and I'm clean and I have not hurt somebody. Make a covenant with your eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? We need this. All of us need this. Pastors, preachers, bishops, evangelists. A commitment to holiness. Seek help. Fast and pray. Do whatever it takes. In conclusion, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'd like to close the service tonight with a little message to the ones that have messed up. Now, I know there's a lot of people in this tent that have messed up. I know that the Lord has also forgiven a lot of you that messed up, like He did me. And you have been restored. And you have been redeemed. And tonight your heart is rejoicing because God has saved you from these awful things. But I'm sure there's some in this tent whose heart tonight could be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, I messed up. And it's time that I come to Jesus for healing. Boys, men, young men, some of you have stolen. You have played with things that are not yours. You have cheated like the devil. You have played with these things. That's why your heart has gone awry. That's why you feel messed up. You have hurt the Lord Jesus Christ. You have offended the holiness of a God. And it's time for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and also with this part of your life. It is time that you bring intimacy and bring it to the cross. Bring it to the altar and say, Lord Jesus, teach me even how to love my wife. Teach me how to live in this sick world. Girls, I know some of you have been crushed. Some of you feel used tonight. You feel as if your life has been damaged, devastating, like a wounded bird that lies on the ground. Jesus would like to heal you. Especially according to the thought of offending God's holiness. Could we understand tonight, see the picture of the beautiful gift that God has given us, and we so ungratefully turn away and go running after, thirsting after these counterfeits? That's what's so beautiful about grace. And I would like to ask this brother, I don't even know his name, but I appreciated that song on grace. I want to ask you to come forward and lead us in that song again. And I would like for us to stand to our feet. And as this brother leads us in this song, rejoice in the grace of the Lord Jesus. And if you are not right with God, and if your heart has been hurt, come ahead, brother. If your heart has been hurt, tonight I want to ask God to give you a longing in your heart to be delivered by the grace of this Lord Jesus Christ. 103. Go ahead, brother.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount afford, there where the blood of a lamb was spilled. Pardon and cleanse within grace. that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God, grace, grace, cleanse within. Grace, grace, God, grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God, grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God, grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Thank you, dear brother. My family can come forward. We'd like to sing a couple songs tonight and dedicate it to those wounded robins who have been victims of Satan's counterfeits. You may be seated. I know there's a lot of you here that have been victims to Satan's counterfeits. And there's some young people up here already confessing their sin, recognizing their need. Lord bless them, and Lord bless the ones that are going to come. You can't run your own life. Don't even try it. You need to be in harmony with your Creator. You need to come and give it up to Jesus and let Him run your life tonight. As we sing, we would like to ask you to close your eyes. And the brethren and sisters who tonight are in victory and are living for the Lord and understand God's plans, pray. And as you listen to these songs, and those who are wounded and have been destroyed by the enemy, like I was, please come as we sing. We're going to sing two songs, and then at the end, we will also sing one congregational song. And during that time, you may come as we sing.
Oh, how well I remember in those young years of my life, of the pain in my heart deep within. It used to tear my heart to pieces when I think of all the ways I hurt the ones all around me with my sins. I remember all the many times I thought I'd change my life around and be a man my parents could be proud. But every time I'd fall again, I'd only go in deeper in the sin I was trying so to quit. I was bound by chains of sin. But praise the Lord, it's not the story of my life anymore. My life's been changed all around. Where defeat and loneliness were tearing at my heart, now love, joy, and peace there abound. Now Jesus is the best friend of mine. With Him I share everything. Jesus Christ has torn all those chains from my heart. It made this lonely heart to sing. Now I am a happy man. I remember all the many times I thought I'd reach for friendship and share with them the struggles in my life. But I held back because I feared if they could see the man I was inside, they'd feel towards me the way I felt inside. So I traveled on a loner, I put on a happy face, and I dreamed of a time when things would change. I was a been chains all around, where defeat and loneliness were tearing at my heart. Now love, joy, and peace there abound. Now Jesus is the best friend of mine. With Him I share everything. Jesus Christ has torn all those chains from my heart. It made this lonely heart to sing. Now I am a happy man. I remember all the times when even all my dreams were cast away and all I saw was darkness up ahead. I remember through those years my only prayer to God was, oh Lord, help me keep someone from doing this. And oh God, while I'm living, help me reach out and keep someone from ruining his life the way I've done. I remember when a compliment was given to me, I'd go home and I'd cry myself to sleep. I knew the man I was inside. But praise the Lord, it's not the story of my life anymore. My life's been changed all around, where defeat and loneliness were tearing at my heart. Now love, joy, and peace there abound. Now Jesus is the best friend of mine. With Him I share everything. Jesus Christ has torn all those chains from my heart. He has made this lonely heart to sing. Now I am a happy man.
You may come as we sing.
Oh, my friend, can you hear the Savior calling? He stands right there and knocks at your heart's door. In your pride, you say you'll wait until tomorrow. And once again, He's turned away like times before. And you say you don't need this man called Jesus. And you say that you can handle your own life. But if you really believe the words you are saying, then tell me, why are those teardrops in your eyes? Oh, the chance you are taking is a great one. Put Jesus off and keep your life of sin. Here He stands at your heart's door, gently knocking. Turn Him down and He may never call again. And you say you don't need this man called Jesus. And you say you can handle your own life. But if you really believe the words you are saying, then tell me, why are those teardrops in your eyes? You know it's true, with no promise of tomorrow, and today could be your last chance to pray. So come now, while the Master's gently calling, and don't let your pride again turn Him away. And you say you don't need this man for Jesus. And you say you can handle your own life. But if you really believe the words you are saying, then tell me, why are those teardrops in your eyes? But if you really believe the words you are saying, tell me, why are those teardrops in your eyes?
Just as I am. 90, what is that number? As we continue to pray reverently, I want to still sing, Just as I am. And if there's anybody here whose heart has been wounded, and you need to come to the Lord Jesus for healing, or for deliverance, for confession, for weeping, for cleansing your heart, for laying it all out and getting rid of it, tonight's the night.
just as I am.
Maybe some of you are embarrassed to come. Maybe there's some minister, some deacon that has been sneaking. Maybe you're embarrassed to come. But I'd just like to tell you tonight, it's much more embarrassing to keep on the way you are. What a blessing to come and confess our sins before Jesus Christ and receive deliverance.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.